darkness suggests the drama of this momentous day. As lights are extinguished, we will ponder the depth of Christ's suffering and death. We remember the cataclysmic nature of his sacrifice as we hear the overwhelming sound of the bell. And through the return of the small but persistent flame of the Christ candle at the conclusion of the service, we anticipate the joy of ultimate victory. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful that we are able to gather tonight. We're able to come together to celebrate this event, this time in your son's life when he gave all for us. We think of the betrayal, we think of the denials, we think of the scourgings, we think of the burial and this day of great anguish for you and for your son that you sent to die for us. So Father, I pray that our hearts might be stirred tonight. I pray that we might be reminded the depth of your sacrifice, the great love that you showed us through your son. And Father, I pray that you might speak to our hearts. I pray that we might focus our attention on this day of remembrance. Thank you, Father, for this time together tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Welcome. Before we have the opportunity to sing "What Wondrous Love Is This," we'll be seated for all of our songs tonight. Before that, we have responsive reading. You'll be reading where it says, "Everyone." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. For us and for your salvation, Christ became obedient unto death, even death. Love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. For my soul to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. To God and to the Lamb I will sing, to God and to the Lamb I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I am, while millions join the theme, I will sing,
I will sing. While millions join the theme, I will sing. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity, I'll sing on, and through eternity, I'll sing on.
Again, thank you for joining us tonight as we have this opportunity to focus our attention on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a night. What a time to reflect and be reminded as we contemplate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday. But today we have this opportunity to be reminded of the great price that Christ paid on our behalf. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And as we look at what we are contemplating tonight, Mike, that screen comes up in a little bit. Thank you. I want to focus our attention on Isaiah 53. Familiar passage of Scripture, and I pray that this weekend is not just another one of those Easter weekends. We come to church on Friday night and we spend an hour reflecting and then gather together again on Sunday and go through the joyous celebration of Easter or Resurrection Sunday, but it really not hit our heart and really not affect our heart. So my prayer tonight for all of us as we gather is that this would be a time of reflection, a time of us just to be reminded of that great, great price that was paid. I remember a few years ago when we had the opportunity to gather for a Good Friday service and we had just music playing, scripture on the screen. I remember one of our senior citizens coming up to me as we were administering communion at the time. And I remember her looking at me and say, why, with tears streaming down her face, why would God do this for me? And I pray that that might be a reminder tonight. I pray that that might be the theme of our heart tonight. Why did God do this for me? None of us deserve that grace. None of us deserve that mercy. If you have your Bible with you, if you would turn to Isaiah 53, a familiar passage of Scripture, I just want to take a few minutes tonight as we think of all that Christ has done for us. Isaiah writes this in this messianic portion of the book of Isaiah. He writes, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. But oppression and judgment, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for this, his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made him his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, and he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. What an amazing passage of scripture as we think and as we contemplate what Jesus went through for our salvation and for our redemption. We can read the passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the trial, of the beatings, of the scourgings, of the mocking, of the brutality of that night, and then Jesus going to the cross and being nailed to the cross and hanging on the cross and being humiliated. In those moments of darkness, those 3 hours of darkness, as God turns his back on his son, and the weight of the sin of the whole world is placed upon his shoulders. And in that darkness, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Think of that. Jesus, who had eternal relationship with his Father, has the sin of the world laid on his shoulders. And now even his Father can't look on him when he is in his greatest distress, when he is struggling. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, Pilate delivered our Lord to be scourged. The Roman scourge was the most dreadful instrument of torture. It was made of sinew of oxen, and sharp bones were intertwined among the sinews, so that every time the lash came down, these pieces of bone inflicted fearful lacerations and tore the skin off the flesh, of the flesh off the bone. The Savior was no doubt bound to a column and thus beaten. He had been beaten before, but this from the Roman soldiers was probably the most severe of his beatings. My soul, stand here and weep over his poor, stricken body. Believer in Jesus, can you gaze upon him without tears as he stands before you, the mirror of agonizing love? He is at once fair as the lily for innocence, and red as the rose with the crimson of his own blood. And as we feel the sure and blessed healing that his stripes have wrought in us, does not our heart melt at once with love and grief? If ever we have loved our Lord Jesus, surely we must feel that affection glowing now within our hearts. In this poem, see how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty's hands and spit in their Creator's face. with thorns his temples gored and gashed, sent streams of blood from every part, his back with knotted scourges lashed, but sharper scourges tear his heart. Do we weep when we think of what Christ has done for us? Can we picture that? Can we get that in our mind's eye that the sinless suffered the worst kind of death for the sinful? We didn't deserve what grace was shown us in the person of Jesus Christ taking the punishment for us, being nailed to a cross, dying on the cross, being laid in a borrowed tomb. Do we take seriously our relationship with our Savior? Are we reminded of the great price that was paid for our salvation? God loved us so much that He would send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. The love of God is revealed as He's giving up His Son to die for sinners. Think of that. Could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for each one of us. God so loved us that He gave us His Son. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us that. That God demonstrated His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. What love. John 3:16 reminds us, for God, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Can you imagine Jesus speaking those words to Nicodemus? For God so loved the world that He gave me His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever thought of that word, so? For God so loved the world. God had such love for you and that He was willing to give up His own Son. How can we ever measure that? How can we measure the height and depth of that? How can we ever measure the length and breadth of that, as Paul says? Sing a song in Jamaica when we did our missions trip, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it, is God's love for us. So the word so describes God's love for sinners. For God so loved you. For God so loved me that He would give His only begotten Son. The love of God is revealed to us in what His Son did on the cross, in surrendering His life for us. So Jesus, as He's talking to His disciples, and we're reminded that in three of the gospel accounts, all four of the gospel accounts, here are the disciples meeting with Jesus for that last meal. They've already celebrated three Passovers with Jesus, most likely three Passovers with Jesus, and now they're gathering for this last time. And Jesus is sitting there with His disciples, and He's speaking to His disciples. And as that meal begins, He says, one of you is going to betray me. And the disciples is there around the table, as they're looking at the elements of the table, they are saying, who is it, Lord? Is it going to be me? And you can imagine Jesus as He's hearing those words come over and over again, and then very close to Him, He hears Judas's voice. Is it me? But just before that, Jesus is speaking and he says, you know, the one who dips the bread in the cup with me is the one who is going to betray me. And Judas must have been that close because Jesus took the bread, dipped it in the cup, and gave it to Judas. And Judas says, is it I? And Jesus looked at him and said, you've said it. Can you imagine the love of Christ just one more time reaching out to Judas? I can imagine Jesus dipping that morsel in the cup and saying, friend, take this bread. Take this bread. And as Jesus is giving new meaning to the elements of that table, this is my body which is broken for you. Friend, take this bread. Judas's heart is so hardened. Judas's heart is so filled with whatever it was filled with at that point. But he was willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go do what I have to do. And Judas leaves. John tells us as he walks out the door, saddest portion of scripture that I've read. Judas is given this opportunity. Then Jesus looks at him and says, what you're going to do, go and do it quickly. And Judas got up. The other disciples weren't paying attention. They thought he was going out to buy something. But John records that it was night. And Judas, as he walks out of that upper room, after being offered one more time this morsel of bread as friend, an opportunity for him to accept who Jesus Christ is, he leaves and walks out into the darkness. Friend, tonight, my prayer is as we go through the scripture, as we go through the readings, as we were reminded of the great price that was paid for our salvation, we should have hung on the cross. We should die for our sins, but God in his great love for us demonstrated it in the fact that he sent his son and was willing to sacrifice his son for you and me. And tonight, once more, Jesus is saying, friend, will you respond to me? Friend, will you take this morsel of bread? Will you take this body? Will you be reminded of my blood? All of this is for you. I died for you, that you might have the hope of eternal life. Tonight, we are going to gather around the Lord's table. This table is for anyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This table has no saving merit. This table is an opportunity for us, as Jesus said to his disciples that night he was betrayed, and he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the blood of new covenant in my blood. Do this and drink this in remembrance of me. And this, tonight, as we take the elements of this table, we are reminded once again of that gift, of that privilege, of that relationship that we have with Christ. So as I pray, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward to wait on us and distribute the elements. We want to take a few moments of silence also to, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that we take time to examine our hearts. And then we'll take the elements of this table. Father, we thank you for all that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this reminder tonight. We thank you for the elements of this table, your broken body, this reminder, and your shed blood. Father, I pray that we might never forget, that we might always remember, that we might always be challenged in our understanding of your word and your truth. So, Father, as we take these elements tonight, do we weep at the sacrifice your Son made? Are we challenged in our own hearts and lives tonight? Father, I pray that you might speak to our hearts as we touch these elements, not your body, not your blood. Just a reminder for us of the great price that was paid for our salvation. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the bread was there, the wine was there, everything was there, and it was routine for the disciples. They had grown up celebrating the Passover. But as Jesus was distributing the elements, and as he was speaking to them, he said, I'm going to give new meaning to each one of these elements. And as he broke the bread, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Then after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is now symbol, the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. And there's new elements. There's a new picture to the Passover. Jesus now becomes that Passover lamb that was sacrificed every year as a reminder of the nation of Israel being released from its bondage in Egypt. The price of that animal's life, that its blood needed to be shed so that that blood could be sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel. As the angel of death came through Egypt, it would pass over the houses where that blood was placed. We are reminded that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are covered. The sentence of death has been removed. The penalty, the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That wage has been paid in the person of Jesus Christ. So tonight we're reminded of those elements, of these elements, and what they mean to us. Let's take a moment in silence. And then I'm going to ask Dan Speed to give thanks for the bread.
Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of coming tonight to this table. Humbly come. Thank you for your invitation. For sinners, we confess our sin before you. Thank you that Jesus took our sin, took our punishment. Thank you for his body prepared for him and sacrificed for us. Thank you, love you, Jesus.
as he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to each of his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you." It hadn't been broken yet. The anticipation of what he was going to do is just a few hours. "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance."
Father, we thank you for this time we have now to celebrate your death. And as we look at this cup that you provided for the disciples and now provide for us as an example of what we're going to drink with you, Father, and for this time. And so we ask that as we do this, that our hearts and mind will be focused on your death and resurrection. Simple and what it should mean to us, challenge us to get to know you better. We love you and thank you for Jesus.
As we mentioned, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the Gospels, it was after supper that Jesus took the cup. And again, he said that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Again, anticipating what was coming. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance. Tonight we're reminded and we're remembering death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially his death and burial, anticipating the resurrection. Do this. Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we have tonight to remember. As we think over this past year, we are reminded that we weren't able to gather together last year, but today we are. We're meeting in as brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have been redeemed, those who have been washed by the blood of your Son as he hung on that cross, as he paid the penalty for our sin, as he gave up his life for ours. Father, as we take these next few minutes, as we walk through the shadows, the ever-increasing darkness, fact that Satan thought he had won the victory in the death of Christ, we were reminded that the light still shines. And it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming, and we look forward to the resurrection. Father, your Son suffered. Your Son died. And again, it was for each and every one of us, so that we might have eternal relationship with you in heaven. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We are now going to move into our service of shadows. And as we walk through these various shadows, we're going to be reminded of each point in that evening when Jesus met with his disciples. We'll start with the shadow of betrayal. The readings will be up on the screen so you can follow along. Our first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. And when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12.
And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful. And they began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" And he answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had never been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." There's an old hymn written by Johann Hermann. Ah, Lord, Holy Jesus. Ah, Holy Jesus, how hast thou offended? And we to judge thee have in hate pretended, by foes derided, thine own rejected, O most afflicted. Who is the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason Jesus hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus. I it was denied thee. I crucified thee. Lo, the good shepherd for the sheep is offended. The slave hath sinned and the son hath suffered for our atonement, while we nothing heeded, God interceded. For me, kind Jesus, was thy incarnation, thy mortal sorrow, and thy life's oblation, thy death of anguish, and thy bitter passion for my salvation. Therefore, kind Jesus, since I cannot pay thee, I do adore thee and will ever pray thee. Think on thy pity and thy love unswerving, not my deserving.
For the shadow of agony, of spirit and arrest, we turn to Matthew 26, verses 36 to 50. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, for the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. This reading is called Go to Dark Gethsemane. Go to dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to pray. See him at the judgment hall, beaten, bound, reviled, and arrayed. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, oh, the pangs his soul sustain. Shun not suffering, shun shame or loss. Learn of Christ to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn of Jesus Christ to die. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who has taken him away? Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so.
Shadow 3, the third shadow, is the shadow of denial. Matthew chapter 26, 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." Immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. This is a poem by Lucy Shaw entitled Judas, Peter. Because we are all betrayers, taking silver and eating, body and blood and asking, "Guilty, is it I?" and hearing him say, "Yes." It would be simple for us all to rush out and hang ourselves. But if we find grace to cry and wait, after the voice of mourning has crowed in our ears clearly enough to break our hearts, he will be there to ask us each again, "Do you love me?"
A shadow of accusation from Matthew 27. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to him, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole of the platoon before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Sacred Head Hour.
Fifth shadow is the shadow of crucifixion and humiliation. Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 27, 31 to 43. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. And they went out and they found a man from Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, King of the Jews. And two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left.
And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" We'll now sing in response, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Shadow of Death from Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
With this song, let's examine and survey the cross together. When I survey the wondrous cross, verses 1, 2, and 3.
I survey the
last shadow is the shadow of burial. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. This is an old spiritual. The title of it is, "Were You There?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? But were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. 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 Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? As we listen to the bell sounding 33 times, Let's just reflect
on the light.
As we close tonight, may we be reminded of what Christ has done for us. We're going to sing the fourth stanza of When I Surveyed the Wonder. Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, keep you and strengthen you. Amen. You would please leave in silence as we continue to remember and reflect.